admins and a mic, that's the name. Other podcasts, they're not the same. Smart conversation, zero fluff. Two admins and a mic, that's the good stuff. Brains behind brilliance, steady and bright. Welcome, we're two admins and a mic.
Hey everybody, welcome to Two Admins and a Mic. My name's Diana Hansen.
Hey guys, I'm Melinda Vale Goodnight, and Two Admins and a Mic is made possible by Conant Leadership.
And this is a podcast for admins by admins. We'd like you to check out our website and join us, twoadminsandamic.com, T-W-O. We're going to be updating it with blogs and resources.
Join, subscribe, and then come join us.
Hey, Admin Nation. We are here today with one of my favorite people in the world.
She's a fangirl.
I'm a fangirl. I was fangirling, I have to tell you. I was. Lucy Brazier, who's going to talk to us about the Global Skills Matrix.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. What a pleasure. And how amazing to be in San Fran with you both.
Woo-hoo! I know. Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, come all the way to see you. So where would you like me to start with Global Skills
Matrix? Explain it so the rest of the admin nation can understand why it's beneficial to them.
Okay, so let's give you a little bit of history, first of all, because I think it's important to position it. So back in 2015, I was asked to chair something called the World Administrators Summit. And the World Administrators Summit is put together by an organization called the World Administrators Alliance. And that's an organization that's kind of like the G7 for administrative professionals.
Oh, wow.
They sit at like a umbrella organization level. So they have most of the associations across the world as members.
Oh, wow.
And what they do is they put together all sorts of pieces of information that are going to be useful for those associations and for the profession at large. So the Global Skills Matrix is one part of it, but they've also done one on the image of the profession and how to get young people into the profession and how we're going to rebrand the profession and all sorts of different things. So anyway, I was in Papua New Guinea in 2015, and that's a whole other story. It's a very interesting place. I love Papua New Guinea. I'd go back there in a heartbeat. But anyway, I was chairing the summit there, and what we came to the conclusion in our discussions, because World Administrators Summit is not a conference, it's a working meeting. So the heads of associations come together to discuss ways that we can drive the profession forward. And we came to the conclusion at that meeting that what we needed was a career framework globally so that no matter where you were in the world, if you said, for example, you were a level 3 assistant, everybody would understand exactly what that meant in terms of skills and competencies. Okay, so we went away, we spent 6 years putting it together because we had all these organisations that wanted to call the assistant role different things. At that point, there were 162 job titles for this marketplace.
162.
Uh-huh. And just to give you a kind of outline of that, in the UK, or in, UK, you could be a PA or an EA. And a PA is lower than an EA, except for you might also have a PA who is a PA to the CEO, who is the same level as an EA.
So PA personal?
Yeah. And in the States, you know, a PA is someone who's after somebody of high net worth,
right,
or somebody who looks after a celebrity. That's not what it is in the UK. Here we call it, in the United States, an administrative assistant,
yes,
usually. In Europe, they call it a management assistant. And that's only a few titles. So can you see already why we've got a problem? Because you're a PA in one company and you go somewhere else, and that could mean they think you sit on reception. So we ended up with a situation where we had 5 levels, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, very simple, so that we had the skill sets for each level of assistant, but you could map what it was that you were called to whichever level it was. So we don't care what companies call their assistants, quite frankly, as long as they have some kind of structure, so that rather than it being a situation where you have an executive who says, oh, they're a nice person, they do my calendar nicely, let's give them a promotion, you're actually promoted based on your actual skills and competencies. So that first one came out in 2021. 14,000 downloads later, clearly coming out of COVID and with AI coming in and quite frankly, there being quite a lot of layoffs because businesses don't really understand what assistants do, we came to the conclusion that it was time to go again. So we did a piece of research which was 3,221 respondents from 69 countries. And off the back of that, we've just rewritten the whole thing and we relaunched it last week. So now it has AI, it has digital first, and we're looking at the new skill sets that assistants have got, and we have redone the levels. It's still 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, but actually the strategic work that assistants are doing has gone up by 30% just in the last 3 years. And that's a stat from LinkedIn, not even from us. So it just gives assistants a map as to what their career could be. And the thing that really excites me about this new one is that at the top level, it feeds into taking you anywhere that you want to go in the business, even to the very top jobs in some cases.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that this could be a stepping stone if that's where you wanted to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think really it's for so many assistants, they only get promoted if their exec gets promoted.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
Correct.
Here in the US particularly, we have a problem because the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is the largest classification board in the world, only recognises one level of assistant. And that's what we used to call a secretary. So it is basic administration. In fact, the description is still talking about assistants in terms of faxing and filing and things that really, I despair. And you have 2 weeks every 3 to 4 years where you're able...
Wait, they only update it every...
3 to 4 years.
And
we're still faxing right now.
They updated it last year.
And we're still faxing.
Probably roller fax too.
Yeah. I had huge hopes that it would come out and it would actually have the right information in it. But the problem is every Bureau of Labor Statistics in the world operates pretty much in the same way, in that you have about 2 weeks every 3 to 4 years in which you can email an address, which is usually an info@address, and they don't tell you when that 2 weeks are unless you sign up to their list in the first place.
Oh my gosh.
So, and even then, sometimes you don't get the email.
Do people actually go there for information? I mean, is this the bar that we're using in
the
United
States? This is a benchmark that the United States uses, the business uses, to work out what the job descriptions look like and what you're paid.
But since you did all the work, I'm just floored that the governments won't go in and say, well, we'll use that. I mean, the work's done for them.
I have to say the UK is currently doing a similar exercise and so is Australia.
Okay.
And I literally spent almost an entire day filling in the forms for the
both.
UK.
Oh, okay.
There's a wonderful woman in Australia called Rachel Benetti, who I don't know if you've come across or not, but I think she's one of the top advocates for assistance in the world right now. She's phenomenal. And she's done the similar exercise over there in Australia.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I'm really saying to admins, wherever you are in the world, maybe go and have a look at what's happening in your country, because the more voices, the better. It's not just leaders who should be filling this in. They want to hear from administrative professionals who are working in the role who are saying my role has totally changed. And let's be clear, you've now got 60% of you doing project management. You've got 38% of you who are doing governance and risk work. You've got a whole heap of you doing research and data analysis and putting together briefing documents and really working on strategy at the highest level alongside your executives, but doing the administrative side of the work.
But that's where the problem is, because a lot of people don't know that the job can do stuff like that. So we're aging out, aren't we, with admins? I mean,
we're aging out because the average age of an admin in the world is 48 and the average age of an admin globally is 50 now.
That's scary.
That's really scary, and I think it's something that we should be shouting about more in the press, because I don't think businesses understand that. And actually, think about it. You've got the executives at the top doing strategy, and at the bottom you've got the workers doing the execution piece, and in the middle sits the assistant, and they're the implementation layer.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing is taking the strategy and translating it into what actually has to be done, and understanding how the workflows work so that the people who are doing the execution can get it done without it becoming a problem. In 10 years' time, the average age of an assistant, if we don't do something about it, will be 58.
Okay, then how do we go about getting that? How do we find those younger assistants and make this more attractive to them, if you will? How do we do that?
I think part of the problem in the first place is assistant. Assistant and support as words.
Yes. And so change the vernacular?
I think change the vernacular. I think it's so interesting. If you show young people a job advert for an administrative professional, they look at it and they think that looks like a really interesting, exciting job. But you put assistant on the top of it and suddenly they're not interested. So many of the young people want to be seen as influential and to be part of something and to feel like they are going to be able to roll up their sleeves and create something that other people are going to go, wow, look what they did. An assistant says that you're not doing the real work. You're helping. You're not doing. Same as support. You're supporting the person who is doing the real work.
Doing the real work.
You are assisting the person doing the real work. And we all know that that isn't what an administrative professional does anymore. They're doing plenty of real work for themselves.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Okay. There's an education piece missing here. I've thought that for a long time. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Oh, my goodness. I think from a young person's point of view, our main problem right now actually is the fact that the centre of gravity for this profession is that project management and operations management piece. And AI is taking far more of the task-based reactive stuff, which is that basic administration piece. So where is that learning ground? How are we going to get the young people into the profession if there aren't ways that they can learn how you work in a business and how you behave and how you become a member of staff? And so for me, when we put the Global Skills Matrix together, at levels 1 and 2, we still had those administrative pieces. The first level being an apprenticeship or an intern, as you call it over here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where we're giving them a training ground. But level 2, where you spend maybe a year working, learning how to do administration at a deep level. Because you can't go to a level 3 and get into project management and process management and workflow and cross-functional management and all that stuff until you understand how it works in the first place. So, yeah, that to me is where the education comes, in those first 2 levels, I think.
Okay. How do we... So... Talk to me a little bit about the age ranges. So in America, the average age of an assistant is 50.
Yeah.
So what percentage is like 25 to 35?
8%.
That's
8%.
So there could be influencers that could step up and help us with this.
Oh, that absolutely could. And I think what's so interesting is that we just never see at career fairs anybody talking about administration.
Never.
And I've talked to assistants who said, oh my goodness, I've done that for my exec for the longest time, organised them being at career fairs, but it had never occurred to me I could do that for us.
Yes.
And so I'm really determined that next year, one of our campaigns is that we put together a pack so that administrators all over the world are able to say, where's my local college or where's my local school? And can I go and be part of the career day so that we can talk about what an amazing career it is? Because, you know, 80% of the people in this profession that answered our survey had over 10 years experience, and just under 50% had 20 years experience. So this is a profession. It is a career. It's not just a job.
I've been doing it my whole career.
Yes.
And
how many years, Diana?
I started right out of high school. So, 40 years.
Absolutely.
Did she say 40?
Yeah, why?
40? Okay. I hadn't heard that number before.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I was just guessing. You know, I'm not a numbers person. And I don't want to state my real age.
You know, the other thing is, too, and you said this, Lucy, I don't think younger people actually, they don't know what we do. They don't realize the salary that they can make, the proximity to power and the influence that they can have in the rooms that they're allowed in or the seats that they sit in. I mean, this truthfully is an amazing job. I got here accidentally. My story, I didn't get here. I didn't say I want to be an executive assistant when I grow up, but I stayed because of the work. The work is so interesting, and it is different every day. Yes, there are days that are boring, but every job has that. And I really don't think that we do a good job as assistants of promoting it.
I think absolutely not. And really, I do quite a lot now of talking to the kids about getting into the profession.
The kids. That's what we're going to start calling them. Because, well, yeah.
I think so. Well, I like maybe it. Not. But I think, you know, that whole proximity to power thing is so interesting. There's a great story that Anne Hyatt tells. And Anne Hyatt, I know that you know, yes, but I'm going to say for your audience,
please,
she was the EA to Jeff Bezos when he'd just come out of his garage and started running. And she was then EA to Eric Schmidt, the chairman of Google, and went on to create the role of chief of staff. She was the first chief of staff in a commercial environment, and she invented that role. But she tells a story of working for Bezos where she said that he used to appoint somebody every year that they called the shadow. And the shadow was employed to follow him around and see how he made decisions and how he worked. So that, God forbid, if he got sick or if he got he died
something
or
happened,
whatever happened, there were people there that would know how to continue running the company in the way that Jeff Bezos thought. And Anne said she was there for about 6 weeks before she suddenly thought, hang on a minute, I'm in more meetings with Jeff Bezos than the shadow is. So I probably know more than he does. And actually, she had a revelation because she thought, I've got to start thinking about this in a different way. This is an education and an inspiration for me. I have the opportunity to learn from one of the greatest business brains of our time. Now, you know, not every assistant, obviously, is going to have that opportunity. But nevertheless, if you're sitting there and you're serving with somebody who's on the board of a company, you have the opportunity to really hone your business skills. And I think that's one of the things that we forget, that this is a business role. And really, there is precedent for this. It's if you look at accountancy, they used to be seen as clerks.
Say again, clogs?
Clerks.
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 I'm sorry, it's my Anglicism.
Well, in my Texas twang, I just, you know. So.
But clerks, and it was seen as purely administrative. The way that that changed and they became infrastructure and people who sat on the board, where every business would assume they had a finance department now, is because they put in levelling in the same way as we have with the Global Skills Matrix, and they introduce certifications and qualifications. So no matter where you are in the world, if you say you're a level 3 accountant, everybody immediately knows what that is. So that's what I'm hoping that we're going to see for this profession, hopefully within the next 5-10 years.
I hope so too.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Donna.
I was just going to say, I don't think people realize how many different people in the business admins touch.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, for sure. That whole piece that is working cross-functionally,
right,
reading more and more in the press is one of the real skills of the future. And yet we have been doing that forever. We understand
right
how the work flows.
But, you get to a certain level and you're talking to the board, you're talking to, you know, other businessmen that, you know, household names, you know it. And people don't realize that, I don't think, because they think of support.
I don't think the press and I don't think that film and television help us.
No, not at all.
You know?
Mad Men has not helped us at all.
No,
so,
every time I see admins on TV, they're slightly ditzy people, with the exception of Donna, of course. With the exception of Donna. But, you know, usually the admins are there going, oh, how can I help you?
Here's your coffee. Think,
yeah, here's your coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a fact.
I heard you say something about you admins are not a resource.
Mm. Admins are not a resource, they're talent.
Can you speak more to that? I absolutely. That was an epiphany for me.
Well, wait, we should full transparency, we were with Lucy for 2 days in the modern day assistant class.
This is true, and that's where I heard it. And so.
And everybody should go look it up because it's great.
Everyone needs to attend the modern day assistance course. But that was an epiphany for me because for 20-something years, I've considered myself a resource. I really have. And to say that I'm the talent, it took me a minute to wrap my head around that.
You're absolutely the talent. I mean, think about it. Every other person in an organization is treated as talent.
Exactly. Yes.
They have a career path. They have structure. They have leadership. They have budget. They understand what excellence looks like. Absolutely. Admins don't have that. And part of the reason I have been so evangelical almost about the Global Skills Matrix is because I really feel that this is a group of 500 million women.
Wait, say that louder for the people in the back. How many?
It's 500 million women worldwide.
That's a B.
Yeah. Work in administration. That's a fifth of the world's working population. And most of them fell into it without making a decision that they wanted to become an administrator in the first place. They didn't ever have, therefore, that moment there where they went, that's the career I want to do. I got into it. I got to the level that I wanted to. I made it. They've never had that moment like most other people do in their careers. And for me, building the Global Skills Matrix, quite apart from organisations understanding finally how to utilise you and how to really take that talent and nurture it so that those of you who are exceptional have a chance to shine. For me, I wanted every one of those billion women to have a moment where they went, I did it. I did the thing. It's so important to our own self-value, don't you think?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I still know people picture the admins in the shadows with the binder waiting to hand a new fresh cup of coffee to the boss, you know.
Totally. And in most cases, business just wouldn't function without the administrators. And really, this is part of my problem with you all retiring and not having the young kids coming up. Because what we're going to find is that if that middle level goes, if that implementation level goes, what the heck are businesses going to do? And they don't realise yet that they've got a problem. If you've got 500 million women who work in those roles who are mainly retiring in the next 10, 15 years, what happens then?
Yeah, because the AI is not that good.
AI is phenomenal, but it's phenomenal at tasks.
Right.
Yes.
And if you read the press, you will see that the skills they used to call the soft skills are fast becoming the core skills.
You know, the day AI can tell my leader that his pants are unzipped is the day that they can have my job.
And this is absolutely it, isn't it? The human skills are what you are so amazing at.
Exactly.
Emotional intelligence is what assistants are always phenomenal at. And that is something that AI really can't do.
I think that we underestimate our, well, I don't think, we underestimate our value and our worth because for the longest time, I had this number in my head about compensation. And, you know, if I hit that mark, then I've arrived. Well, I hit that mark, I've not arrived. It has everything to do with compensation, but not really. Mm. It has everything to do with a leader who values you, who knows what you bring to the table. And I don't think every company embraces that. In fact, I know they don't.
It's part of the reason that I wrote Global Skills Matrix this time round for the executives and for the leadership teams and for HR. Last time round, we wrote it for the admins. And we wrote it for the admins because we wanted you to have a common language. We wanted you to understand what it was your role was. We wanted for you to be able to take it to your exec and go, where do you think I sit? So that it was the beginning of a conversation.
Right.
But I think the stakes right now are too high to rely on the admins to take that stuff and have those conversations. We need to get into the executives and to the HR departments because there is such a fundamental misunderstanding as to what this role is that I am seeing huge layoffs all over the place.
Yes.
And they will hire you back cyclically when they realise you did stuff.
Right.
But it's just the combination of AI and the age and the misunderstanding could mean this profession falls off a cliff, and I'm not prepared to let that happen.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, yeah.
Thank you for that.
That's sort of how I feel. Like, I made it when I worked for a Fortune 500 CEO, and then we left, and I just said to somebody the other night, now's my job to, I have to put myself out there so that the stays, you know, it's the other people have the same experience I have, or have the opportunity to have the same experience as I had. Because I loved my job. I love it.
And almost every assistant that I speak to is totally passionate about what they do.
Absolutely.
But totally frustrated that they're not recognized for doing it.
Yeah.
And it's been my experience that it's the leader. Instead of being a leader, you're managed, or you're micromanaged, or you're not valued. They don't see your worth. You're there for the word support. And and this is not the time to get into this whole conversation, but someday I would love to have you back and talk about, we spend too much time at the party waiting for the party to get better.
I agree. And I think the other thing is, I see so many assistants who say to me, they don't empower me. I feel like I need to be empowered. And I'm saying, well, who do you think empowers you? It's not me. It's not the business. You would be really surprised if you walked into your organisation every day feeling empowered, how differently they would treat you. It's a mindset.
It is.
Really. And having said that, you know, I think for the longest time, there hasn't just been a glass ceiling in this profession. There's been a cement ceiling. It's like you can't, I talk to so many admins who say, I've got to the top and I can't go any further. Mm-hmm. And they said, this is your level, and admins don't go higher than that level. So you're never going to get a raise again, basically.
Yeah.
You've just got to sit there and be on what you are. And that's why this time round also, you know, level 4 is a strategic implementer. So it's really understanding the business. It's really understanding your executives' goals and KPIs and working alongside them so that when they're given a goal, you sit down together and go, okay, this part of the work is mine and that part of the work is yours. And simple economics says if you're both capable of doing something, it should be the admin that's doing it because the executive is paid their massive salary to go off and do the things that only they can do.
Right.
Okay, so that's strategic partnership. So that's level 4. But at a level 5, and this is where it gets really interesting, this time around we split it. So previously there was one level 5. This time round we wanted to do it so that it opened the doors for you possibly going to even the top of the business. So on one side, a level 5A is administrative leadership. It's looking after a team of admins. It is working out for them what their career path looks like, what training might look like, managing budgets, rolling out new initiatives. So maybe rolling out something like AI currently. It's making sure everybody understands what excellence looks like. It's negotiating with the board. It's putting the case for what the administrative function is capable of doing to support the stuff the board is doing. All that. That's your administrative leader. And you could go do that. And actually, if you were amazing at it, you could probably move into other leadership roles and work your way up the ladder that way. On the other side, it's operational leadership. So you could choose that as your path. And that, of course, if you work really hard, it could end up being a chief of staff. Or even if you take it through to its logical conclusion, you could end up being a COO. So all of a sudden, you have opened the doors to administrative professionals and said, just because you're an admin, it doesn't mean that your level has to stop there. Actually, if you're ambitious and if you work hard, you could work your way right the way to the top. And that, I think, is really exciting.
I absolutely love that. That is what we've needed for the longest time.
Mm. Where do you see chief of staffs? Is that what an administrative professional should strive for? Or do you consider them already in the administrative field?
It's definitely in the operations piece. Definitely in the operations piece, but I think it's a really powerful triumvirate with the CEO. So it is part of the office of the CEO, but ideally you've got the CEO facing outwards, going into the world, doing the stuff. You've got the assistant who is managing the day-to-day of the CEO and really making sure that their work is flowing properly. Mm-hmm. And then you have the chief of staff who is facing outwards into the business and doing pretty much the same role as the CEO. Mm-hmm. And they're managing the rhythm of the business. They're making sure that processes and procedures and frustrations are identified. And the three of you together should be hugely powerful as long as you know where your lane sits. So, yes, I do think that an assistant can become a chief of staff, but somebody gave me the best analogy. They said it's a bit like a doctor and a nurse. So you're both working in the field of medicine. You can both be exceptional, but a nurse can't become a doctor unless they do a whole heap more work.
Got it. Okay. I was just curious. Because
love that.
A lot of people say they aspire to be.
Yes, definitely. And I think there's a lot of courses and things out there now that are saying we can transfer you from being an assistant into being a chief of staff. I think if you are taking a course to become a chief of staff, it's not a 2-day, 3-day course. It's, you know, you wouldn't turn from being a nurse into a doctor in 2 or 3 days.
Right.
It's a lot more work. But I think, yes, of course, you can do anything you want if you're an admin, can't you?
Yeah, you can.
I love that. Thank you for coming.
Thank you
for being here. We hope you'll come back.
Oh, I have so loved the last couple of days having you in my class.
Oh,
firstly,
my gosh.
And we have had so much laughs. And but also, it's so good to talk to people that really get the profession and are so passionate about it. I sometimes think I'm a bit nuts, but that's okay. I am passionate about it, and we will, between us, all make the changes.
And we'll all be nuts together.
Yeah.
So,
anything you want to tell the audience to look for? Go to your website, for sure.
Oh, yes. So if you want to go download the Global Skills Matrix, you can do that at globalskillsmatrix.com. It's a free resource. I'm not selling anything. There's all sorts of supporting materials. It's our gift, the World Administrators Alliance gift, to you. If you want to go to my commercial website, it's Executive Support Media, and we'd love to hear from you.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us.
And remember to go to all of our social media platforms and subscribe, and mainly our website. Come join us. We drop every 2 weeks, and we want you to be there.
And remember, this is For Admins by Admins.